I'm bringing you back to seminary.
Yes.
You graduate from seminary.
Yes.
You have a Master of Theology of Southern Methodist University.
Correct.
A Doctor of Humane Letters from Oklahoma City University.
Right. And a Doctor of Divinity degree from Texas Wesleyan University in Fort Worth. Well, when I was graduated, my bishop in the Houston area sent me to be an associate at a big suburban church called Memorial Drive. I had 2 great years there.
Suburban in?
Houston, out beyond River Oaks on the west side of Houston. I was ringing doorbells, and we took in over 1,300 members in 2 years. So the bishop appointed me to First Methodist Houston, which was our largest in the denomination at that time, drawing bigger crowds than any other church at that time. I was the Sunday night preacher. The famed author, Dr. Charles L. Allen, was the Sunday morning preacher. So for the next 7 years, I got to preach every Sunday night at that great church. That's where I learned how important television can be in a downtown church. We run television live every Sunday on the ABC affiliate. And then I got a call inviting me to moderate a call-in radio show on Sunday night, also at the big ABC radio station in Houston at the time, KXYZ, a big 50,000-watt station. After I would preach on Sunday nights and rush Gail and the children home, I would go over to KXYZ, and at 9:30, I would moderate a full hour and a half live show called Religion on the Line. I gave my time. KXYZ gave its time. People could ask any question about religion they wanted to ask. It was during the Vietnam War. It was first human heart transplant, first time we landed men on the moon. It was a time when African Americans were bursting into predominantly white churches and demanding $50 million in reparations. It was a turbulent time in the United States. So it was a great time to be on radio trying to answer people's questions. And I did that for 7 years every Sunday night. Learned a lot about live radio at that point. I have great appreciation for people who do radio, like you did so well for so many years.
Were you the single source on that program, or did you have others who joined you as a panel?
I was told by the station I could do it either way. And as I got more questions about, well, what do the Presbyterians think, or what do the Muslims think, or what do the Jews think about this, I called on people in Houston. I sometimes just had a name of somebody that I had admired from a distance. I got a rabbi, Jack Siegel, who agreed to come give his time when I would call him. I mean, I'd line him up weeks in advance, of course. I found a Greek Orthodox, Father Nicholas Triantafilou, who agreed to come. I found a Roman Catholic priest, Father Paul, and a couple of Protestants. But once I got over the fear that no one would call in that big area, people called. There was never a dead spot. Once I discovered they would call, I thought, if I'm going to give my time, I'm going to get the most of this myself. So I would do one Sunday night by myself, and then I'd have one of those guests. And then I'd do one Sunday night by myself, then I'd have a guest.
Was this your first time with a leader of the Jewish faith? What I'm leading to, is this where your interfaith work, which I want to talk a little about later, was the seed planted there?
No, not planted, but nurtured. When I got to Centenary College, I decided I would be a history major. I was pre-theology, of course, but I still had to choose a major, and I chose history. I had really come to love the humanities by that time, so I had to take a good bit of psychology and philosophy. But I discovered Centenary had a terrific history department, several really outstanding professors, and 2 of them were Jews, a husband and wife, both of whom had been professors at the University of Berlin. When Hitler came to power, they were dismissed just because they were Jews. They were sent home. They were promised a meager stipend if they would keep their mouths shut. But they saw things getting worse and worse. And when the night of Kristallnacht occurred, they knew it was really bad now. Synagogues were burned and Jewish businesses broken into. They had one young son, early teens, and they decided to spend whatever it took to escape from Nazi Germany. They were smuggled through Belgium to England, caught a ship from the port nearest London, Southampton, to New Orleans, Louisiana. They knew a Jewish family who had left Berlin and had gone to Shreveport, Louisiana. I don't know just why Shreveport, but that was the case. And they wired ahead and said, we've had to spend everything. We have enough for train tickets to Shreveport. If there's any way you could help us start over, we'd be grateful. Well, this couple knew the president of our Centenary College and what a terrific Methodist school it is. Older than LSU, older than Tulane. It's the oldest continuous college in the state of Louisiana. And when they got off the train with this young boy of theirs, The president of our Methodist college was standing there asking him, would you teach at Centenary College? When I had the two of them, I mean, think about it. This was the Cold War. This was the Cuban Missile Crisis. The husband, Dr. Bruno Strauss, had grown up a few miles from the Russian border. He taught a two-semester course in the history of Russia. They taught the history of Western civilization and so on. I mean, they were terrific. And every Friday night went to the Jewish synagogue. In my little hometown, I knew no Jews. I had not really heard Jews discussed. But I knew in my deepest heart, without anybody telling me, God has never revoked covenant with these people. Not ever. Their covenant is as valid as mine. I came to have genuine love and appreciation for the two of them, and I resolved that whatever I could do the rest of my ministry, I would foster dialogue with the Jewish community wherever I was. I would do whatever I could to make that better. So that's where it began. And then Rabbi Jack Siegel helped me with that. He was terrific, really, really great. He was a young associate at the biggest synagogue in Houston, very similar to me, you know, young wife, young children, facing a lot of the same things and working on staff of a huge synagogue as I was a church. I've kept in touch with Jack all these years. He's retired now. I'm still working, but a great guy.